I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I had a ministry call. How can I help you?
I just wanted to know what kind of radical stuff we got going on here. Praise the Lord.
Radical? Well.
Got signs out here.
Let me ask you, there's a receipt I didn't give you, honey. Let me ask you a question. I don't know what your definition of radical is, but was my Lord...
I'm making fun.
I know. Was my Lord and Savior a radical?
He was, yeah.
In the right way.
In the right way.
He wasn't a communist. He wasn't violent, but he was definitely radical against the world, radical against the Roman Empire, radical against man-made traditions. Amen. He was definitely radical against that.
Amen. I'm a radical, too.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
How do I know? How do I know?
Well, by whatever I do, how would you like to accept Christ as your Savior?
How would I like to what?
Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Well, I don't think that's even possible.
Oh, you don't? How's that?
Well, I'm a Berean. I believe in studying the Word of God and patterning my life and everything I believe on Scripture.
Because
Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. I've never found in the Bible where it tells us to accept Jesus.
But he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Come unto
me.
When
you accept his invitation.
Well,
but it's not necessarily a scriptural statement.
Yeah, it's okay, so that's not scriptural. Actually,
it's a principle.
It's a counter statement, though. Do you know why?
No, tell me.
The Bible actually never says we accept Jesus.
Correct.
We do receive him, but we'll get to how you receive him. The Bible actually says, this is awesome, I love this. When I learned this, it like changed my view. The Bible actually says, because of what Christ did, God accepts us. Yeah. We're accepted into the house of God because of Christ. So that kind of puts it on the front end. Won't you accept Jesus, when really it's Jesus that makes us acceptable? Now, how do we get to where we can receive Jesus? Let's talk about the gospel. What is the gospel path to eternal life?
Gospel path.
Yeah, so if you walked up to a stranger in a park and they said, I'm not a Christian, I don't go to church, what must I do to gain eternal life? What would
he
you say?
He that believeth on the Son shall be saved.
Okay.
He that believeth not the Son shall not be saved.
Okay, so believe. Is that the entirety of the gospel right there? That's it? The path to eternal life.
In essence, it is, because if you believe Jesus, he talks of salvation. Salvation, the gospel that we follow today, is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4.
Okay. Which is his death, burial, and resurrection.
Right.
So, by faith, we believe in this Savior who shed his blood for the remission of sins and died and rose again to defeat death. Agreed?
Right.
Okay, so by faith.
But it covers a whole lot more than that, because if you're believing in Jesus, you're believing in everything that he teaches.
Okay, very good. So we have to keep going, though. So hold on. You got some guy here that's never heard the gospel, so just believe in Jesus. Well, he might say,
I just said to you.
So that guy might say, I read the Bible verse. Doesn't the demons believe in Jesus, too?
Absolutely.
So what else must I do to enter eternal life? That can't be just believe.
No, if you believe, then you trust. Because belief is an acceptance of what is said.
Okay, so a trust in Jesus and his work, and that's it? I'm going to go to heaven?
No.
What else must I do?
I'm
testing you.
You're not trusting me.
I'm not going to trust you. I'm going to trust the Word of God. I'm testing you. I'm testing your gospel. So we're at believe in Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. What else must we do? What else must happen?
Well, you have to accept his message. His message is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Okay.
You've
already done that. You placed your faith in him. I believe he's the Son of God. I already accept that. I receive it. I don't like the word accept. He'll accept me at the other end. What must I do? Jesus tells us. You don't...
Tell me.
Huh?
Tell me.
You want me to tell you now? You want me to preach the gospel to you?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what your track says. I'm going to keep this and look at it, and we'll test it.
Got about 30 seconds, and I got to get myself going. We're heading back for Texas.
You're heading back to what?
Texas.
Oh, heading back to Texas. So 30 seconds. Well, I can preach the gospel in 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
By Jesus Christ, you must come, his shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. You must place your faith in this Messiah, the only way to the Father. Jesus said, his first ministry words were, repent lest you will perish. You didn't mention repentance.
Correct.
Repentance is when you believe, you change your mind, and you change your ways. And that means you're willing to come out of the world, your flesh, and all false ways, because God hates false ways. And when you have faith and you're willing to repent and lose your life, Matthew 10, Jesus said, lose your life. When God sees a willing vessel, Acts 5, an obedient vessel, it says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey. You'll be born again by the Spirit of God. And the fruit you're born again is not Sunday church attendance that God never ordained. It's not Christmas, Easter, keeping churchianity ways. The fruit you're born of God is holiness and obedience to the word of God that Jesus is the word made flesh. Matthew 4:4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. And we strive for the kingdom of God, forsaking everyone and everything that is outside of God's will and word and ways. And then we endure every day like a marriage, like being a U.S. citizen, like at a job, every day, every week, every month, every year, you must endure to the end. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, Matthew 10, those who endure to the end will be saved. That's the biblical gospel.
That's during the tribulation. That's after
you're a dispensationalist. You're a dispensationalist.
Absolutely.
Really? So do you believe the book of Colossians is for us?
Certainly.
Okay. Let me take you to, so I gave you the gospel in 30 seconds. Let me take you to the book of Colossians and you, because I know you guys throw books in and out. That's not for us, and that's just not true.
I'm not that kind of dispensationalist.
Dispensationalism was not invented until in about the 1800s. But let me take you to Colossians. I don't have my reading glasses on. Colossians 1, which you think is for us?
Certainly.
Okay, it's for us today, even in your dispensation, which I don't believe dispensations.
All Paul's writings are for us.
Okay, yeah, Paul all over slices up. Once saved, always saved. You must be once saved, always saved.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He slices it up. Ready?
Absolutely.
Colossians
That's
1.
What salvation is. Salvation is eternal life.
It's salvation not, is not Yeshua. Yeshua, Jesus, means salvation. And he said, all my sheep follow me, and they abide and remain in me, John 15. Mm-hmm. If you don't abide and you don't remain in, and God will help you by the Holy Spirit, which is an earnest, a down payment. It's not a done deal. But let me get to Colossians 1. 22 and 23, you say, this is for us today. In the body of flesh through death, present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If. That's an if. I got a whole article on ifs.
You're making salvation by works.
No, but works are part of our salvation. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
Are you faithful to your wife?
No, sir.
Do you sleep with other women?
She's dead and gone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought
there was my daughter in the car.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just saw a woman in the car. So, you were faithful to your wife. Was that works in your marriage?
Absolutely.
Works are part of a good, godly marriage. Works is part of salvation.
Not a part of salvation.
No. The Bible says you can lose your salvation. In Hebrews it says it, but you throw that book out.
Yeah.
Colossians it says it. Paul says in Romans 11. Is Romans for us today?
Yes.
In Romans chapter 11. Ready? If you'll hear the word of God. You know what? I'm just helping a young man get out of once saved, always saved and dispensationalism. So this is perfect timing. Paul says this in Romans 11. Let me find it. Struggling without my glasses. If God spared not the natural branches, who's that, sir?
Jews.
Israel. Take care lest he also spare not thee, Gentiles.
Right.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off.
Okay.
That's from your Romans book that is for today. I'm not going to shake your hand of a false teacher. My website proves you wrong. Look up don'tperish.com.
All right.
And you need to repent of dispensationalism, come out of all sin and all false ways. I don't want you to lose your soul, sir. You can't live in sin. You can't live in worldliness. You can't live in false doctrine. The Bible says without holiness, no one will see God. 1 Peter 1:15. You believe it's just an action one time. You have to turn away from all sin. And God helps you. We don't work our way to salvation, but works are part of our salvation. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, continue in sound doctrine by which you are saved. We live in the truth. That's work, sir. You're working your way with Jesus.
Doctrine, saved, not continuing in
He says continue in sound doctrine. You make Paul a liar, sir. You need to repent of your dispensationalism. Turn from your sin. Come out of your worldly ways and your false doctrines that are demons, in demon-inspired doctrines of demons. Turn and repent, sir, or you're going to lose your soul.